I think everybody's settling down. My name's Steve. I'm at him. Got the second annual Recovery at the Lake. It's actually the third year we've done an event of this nature locally. The first one was in Paducah with Mike D., one of my old sponsors, and he came down and started that, and we decided to move it down here because this is halfway between Murray and Paducah, so we figured we'd have a little bit more people from Murray coming this way, too. So we did it last year down the road, and Tarek here is my sponsor, and he did it last year with another guy named Brandon. So this year we have Tarek and Lindsay here today, and I've met Lindsay a few times. I heard her share at the Cocaine Anonymous Southeast Regional Convention a couple of years ago in Birmingham. It's the first time I heard her share, but she gets on our sponsorship call. Tarek has a sponsorship call with all the sponsees, get on this Zoom call, and I hear her on there every once in a while. So I asked her a couple of years ago, hey, could you do this? And now it's coming to fruition. And a lot of these things, these plans are laid out, you know, well in advance, you know. So we got some more speakers next year. We got Tarek again and his sponsor, Ralph White, and Ralph's girlfriend, Leslie. So I'm looking forward to next year as well. It's going to be a good event. You know, a little background on this. In 2020, I lost my pilot's license. I couldn't work on the river, and I was laying tile for a living. And I kept telling Chris about this guy named Mike D., and he used to be my sponsor. So I looked up online, looked for some leads, so there's talks online. I found Fireboard. And so I started listening to Mike, sharing it with Chris. And I started listening to these two guys, Brandon and Terry, you know. And I'm laying tile for a living, got an earbud in, working all day long, and had no idea I'd ever meet these guys face-to-face. And, you know, through a set of events where Mike came and spoke in Birmingham, and I wound up down there with Mike, and I'm walking through this Birmingham Recovery Center, and this guy named Steven, he said, my sponsor's Tarek. I said, is that that guy from Atlanta that sponsors all these people? Yeah, and he's sitting right there. You know? And so we've been in contact ever since, and after a little while, I want to have a little deeper relationship in the steps and do it a different way, and so I asked Tarek to be my sponsor, and so that brought this about, and I'm grateful for it, grateful to have both Tarek and Lindsay here, and I guess I'll turn it over to them and look forward to what I hear.
Thanks.
Do we want to do the meditation? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to start with a two-minute meditation. Everybody's been running around all day, and then it'll give us a chance to just quiet the mind and get grounded, and then we'll see what happens after that. Serenity prayer, God.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Wow. My name's Tarek. I'm an addict and an alcoholic.
Hey, Tarek.
Power greater than myself separated me from alcohol and a bunch of other substances on the morning of November 5th in 2007. And because of a merciful God, the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and Cocaine Anonymous, I have found it unnecessary to use alcohol or any other mind-altering substance to treat any degree of psychological pain that I'm going through. And I have a debt to pay this entity that I choose to call God, and I'm the only one that can pay that debt off. And so the way I live my life, or try to live my life, is in appreciation for that gift that was given freely and spontaneously. You know, we experience a lot of miracles. We're the product of a miracle, you know, but we're not the miracle. The miracle actually took place on, you know, Mother's Day 1935 in this place called Akron, Ohio, where this New York stockbroker and this doctor got together and they had an experience. And from that big bang, so to speak, possible, there's a couple other events in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous that might be considered the big bang. But that might be one of them. We're sitting here product of that miracle. And so we're supposed to come up here and share our experience, strength, and hope. And I've been sitting with that whole phrase because we hear it around our fellowships all the time. But don't we really share our weaknesses? You know, what are you guys going to identify with today? You're probably going to identify with my experiences with powerlessness. Right, but it is through those weaknesses that our strengths are born out of. So I always find it interesting, or I have recently, when you think of that statement, we share our experience, strength, and hope, but that's not really what we're doing here. So I want to, like, when I get to do this, and Lindsay does this too, and, you know, we're up here pitching, and you guys are hopefully catching. Right, it makes a world of difference to us if you're catching or not. You know, that's the beautiful thing about it. We're a verbal, oral society, and we're storytellers, and that's all we've come here to do is share some of our stories with you. We're not coming up here to tell you how to work the steps and all those things that I was guilty of doing for many years. We're here to share our lives with you, okay? And but I'd like to get a show of hands. Who in here is in their first 90 days? Okay. First 6 months? First year? 1 to 5? Nice. 5 to 10? 10 to 15? Over 15? Okay, we got a nice assortment here.
That's good.
Yeah, and so it's hard because, like, a lot of this has to do with the, you know, how I see things today, right? Compared to how I saw things, let's say, 15 years ago. You know, in less than a month, God willing, I'll have 18 years of walking the spiritual path, and a lot of things that I thought were true 15, 12, 10, 10, 8 years ago are not true anymore. It's just a matter of perspective. One of the things I'm going to hone in on this weekend is, like, for years, I was so in love with the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, I refused to look at the 12 and 12. And I've completely had a new experience with it. And now I can honestly tell you that I love our two basic texts equally. And so there's so much in there. And, like, because the Big Book's so much inspiration in that book. You know, they talk about the broad highway, and they talk about being catapulted into the fourth dimension of existence. And they talk about this realm of the spirit, you know, and they talk about the central fact of our lives today is God has entered into our hearts and lives in a way that's indeed miraculous. That we're all on this common journey on the broad highway. And it's we're trudging this highway, this road, and it is the destiny, the journey. Man, those are inspirational phrases that I just threw out at you. But my journey for 18 years has not been inspirational all the time. And so then I get my hands on the 12 and 12. I've read it. I was that guy that went to 12 and 12 meetings, and I sat in there with my big book, and I waited for it was time to share, and I shared out of the big book in a 12 and 12 meeting because I wanted everybody to know they were focusing on the wrong thing. And I cringe now when I look back over being that guy that drew the lines in the sand. And so the 12 and 12 for me today is about a long journey. It's a long period of character building. And it really goes into our struggles after we lay down the drugs and alcohol. You know, where the big books was written to people that were newly sober. We forget that sometimes. And then our way of life was codified. And then there are some of us, I was guilty of this, where I thought the big book came down the mountain on a stone tablet. And it was the gospel. It was the commandment and everything in it. And then I get my hands on 12 and 12, and they take such a deeper dive into this thing called humility, which I lacked for the first 15 years. I can tell you that right now. I was very arrogant in the way I did things. I don't think that's the best way now. I do like the idea of being broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding, and you can't have that with a rigid heart. You can't have that with the mind of an expert. There's no room for growth with the mind of an expert. You have to bring a beginner's mind to this process, to this way of life and this journey. And so now for me to sit up here and talk about what I think is the truth, I mean, there is no such thing. There's no such thing as truth. There's only your experience. There's only your experience. And what we are here, one of my heroes is a guy named Sandy Beach, and he says what we are is we are way showers. We show people the way. And so you can have your own experience with your truth. And what we're here to do this weekend is just quite possibly share some stories that might be inspirational, that may cause one person in this room to go do something they wouldn't have done had we not come here this weekend. And that is time well spent. And so that's my goal here. You know, one of my favorite little passages out of the 12 and 12 is at the very beginning, and it says the 12 steps are 12 principles, spiritual in nature. And if practiced as a way of life, will expel the obsession to do drugs and drink alcohol. And they will render the practitioner happily and usefully whole. And here's a new thing I've been waking up to here over the last couple of years. You know, when you think, okay, they tell you you're in a treatment program, you know, you're newly sober, and they tell you that, you know, you're not whole. And our first assumption is, okay, if I'm missing something, I need to add something. But the spiritual life is not about adding anything. It's about getting rid of stuff. And a lot of what I want to talk about this weekend is like all of the ideas I've gotten rid of over the last several years here, you know, that kept me knowing, right? One of my other teachers is a guy named Thomas Merton, and he says those who say they know from the very beginning will come to know nothing at all. And so we talk about this idea of being whole, and man, I know you guys have that feeling in your life that there was just something that was wrong with you, but then the you weren't born with a full deck, right? I wasn't born with a full deck. And we talk about that, you know, sometimes people in Alcoholics Anonymous refer to, you know, we like to think we're somehow we've been chosen, right? And I don't know if that's a true statement or not. But what I do like think about sometimes is Carl Jung is considered maybe part of one of those big bangs. Who in here has heard of who Carl Jung is? Okay. So, guys, don't y'all think it's a little weird that we're all sitting in here on a Friday night in this little room on the side of a lake and sitting here? And if you were to go out and tell your friends, you know, what do you do with these AA meetings? And you said, you know, we sit around, we drink coffee, we smoke cigarettes, we vape. Somebody brings a topic, we talk about resentments. And we circle up, we do the Lord's Prayer, and we go home. And it's great. You know, they would think we're very strange. Like, why is it that that's so great? Why is it that that has such an effect on you? And I'm going to tell you, like, before this meeting started, I could hear all the chatter, right? It's a beautiful noise. I heard my pal Charlie said one of his favorite things when he was sitting at a conference was to sit there, close his eyes, and listen to all the people talking, okay? And so I want to read something, and this is out of the Vision for You. Oh, definitely not the direction I wanted to go, but I was going to read this at some point this weekend. And this is a wonderful description of the magic of the fellowship and the magic of storytelling and testimony. It says, many a man and woman, yet days from hospital experience or treatment, has stepped over the threshold of that home into freedom. Our home groups, which I'm going to talk a little bit about this weekend. There is a difference between a meeting and a home group. We succumb to that cheerful crowd inside, that noise we heard tonight, people talking, you know, people actually experiencing some joy in their lives, who laughed at their own misfortunes and understood the other person's. Impressed by those who visited them at the treatment center or the hospital, they surrendered entirely when later in an upper room of this house in Akron, Ohio, they heard the story of some man whose experience closely resembled his own. The expression on the faces of the men and women, the indefinable something in their eyes, the stimulating and electric atmosphere of the place conspire to let our new friends know that they found a safe haven at last. The very practical approach to these problems, the absence of any intolerance of any kind, the informality, nothing formal here, the genuine democracy, we're anarchy here at its best, the uncanny understanding which these people had was irresistible. He and his wife would leave elated. We go home after these meetings and these fellowship events, elated by the thought of what we could now do for some stricken acquaintance and his family. They knew they had a host of new friends. It seemed they had known these strangers always. And that's my favorite line. I guarantee you at some point this weekend, I'm going to connect with somebody and I'm going to feel like I've known you for a very long time. They had seen miracles, and one was to come to them. They had visioned the great reality of the loving and all-powerful Creator. And that's what we're doing here this weekend, guys. We're trying to experience that description that they just gave us of what we do here and how we share with one another. You know, but a lot of it has to do with my current experience of what I'm going through today. You know, if I could change one word about in the 12 steps, it would be in the third step, that I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care and direction of a God of my experience, not a God of my understanding. I have very little understanding right now of this power and how it works, but I have experience. You know, and so back to Carl Jung, he was the foremost psychotherapist in the 1930s. It was him, some guy everybody in here has heard of, Sigmund Freud, and this other guy, Adler. But Carl Jung was the only one who thought spiritual experience was valid to the psychology of a human being. And so there was this rich businessman who had a drinking problem. And what did his family do? What do all families do that have money when there's drugs and alcohol? They throw money at the problem. And that's what his family did. And they wanted him to take over this business. He was from Rhode Island. And they sent him off to Switzerland for the better part of a year to work with this doctor. And they went at it. They got into the inner workings of his mind. They addressed all his emotional states. They addressed his childhood trauma, all of it. And Roland thought relapse was unthinkable. And then he's headed back home to New York at the time, and he gets drunk in Paris. So someone asked him the wrong question. Hey, you want a drink? And he took that drink and he ran right back to Dr. Young. But here's the big bang, right? If we had any other doctor, in today's age, we talk about doctors having God complexes. Check out the humility of Dr. Young. Roland Hazard comes back to him and says, "Doc, I got drunk before I even got on the ship, dude. What's up? I just spent a year with you. My parents paid you all this money." And here's what Roland Hazard said. He's like, "My bad, bro. I tripped. I misdiagnosed your ass. You present like you're a mental defective. You present like you're schizophrenic sometimes, like you're bipolar, like you're manic depressive. But what you have is the mind of a chronic alcoholic. And I've never seen a case such as yours recover." You know? Here is the preeminent doctor who this guy thought in his mind was the key to his answer. It was the answer to his problem, is telling him, "I can't help you. The treatment center you're in can't help you. The people you're hanging out with can only help you to a certain extent." There has to be a transformation of thought and attitude, and our hearts have to be changed in order to us to really engage this way of life at a deep level. Because it's not about living sober. It's about living spiritually, which are two different things. But the doctor did have some good news for him. The doctor said, "Look, man, I have read in some books and heard about some people who have had these things called vital spiritual experiences. And when they have them, ideas, things that were driving them are all thrown to the side, and a new set of ideas and values begin to dominate their lives. I've been trying to get some stuff to take place in you, but I can't help you. So my suggestion is you go back and find yourself some spiritual organization, some religious organization, and you throw yourself in it. The chances of you having a spiritual experience are like getting struck by lightning, but that's all I got for you." And how cool is it that we suffer from an illness now, right? An illness that requires us to take actions that awaken our spirit. Do you guys don't think that's amazing? We are required. The end game is an awakened spirit. And that's what's going on here. If you go to the end of our book, our little novel, and, you know, we don't want to ruin it for you, but that is the end. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. If you're the type of alcoholic and drug addict that I am, your experience has to take you to that turning point, which is typically rooted in genuine surrender. And you start to realize that this is my only shot. And so what we're here to do this weekend is just share our own experience of how we were led in a certain way. And we were shown certain things, but we're not going to tell you. I heard a guy tell a story like this, and I'll turn it over to Lindsay. If I call Steve up and I say, "Steve, how do I get to Washington, D.C.? Okay. And Steve says, "Well, you just go east. Okay. But when you get to D.C., man, you got to go check out this museum. And then you got to go do this tour in this place. And then they've got these really cool concert venues. You should go check out a concert in this place. You got to go to the Lincoln Memorial. You got to go to the Washington Monument." I'm like, Steve, hold on. I don't want you to tell me what I'm going to experience when I get to D.C. I need you to tell me how to get to D.C. What interstates do I have to take? That's what we do here. I don't know what your treasure looks like at the end of the treasure map. This is the map. It's just a treasure map. You know, don't eat the treasure. It's just the map, right? It's just the map. And I've been guilty of trying to eat the treasure, man. I've been guilty. If this was a menu, I've been guilty of trying to eat the menu. You know, but it's just a map. And you get to experience D.C. when you get there yourself. But you got to follow some directions. And there are different routes to get there. There are. But, you know, one of the questions I would invite you to ask yourself, why did you come here this weekend? I don't think a person sitting in this room had any choice whether or not they were going to be here today. So this is This is our way of giving back to something that has given us so much, right? I'm going to tell a part of my story in the next session. I didn't want to start off with it tonight. I wanted to just like share where I'm at and give you guys maybe a little snapshot of what's to come. But that the little excerpt I read from A Vision for You, man, it's been easy for me to stay here for almost 18 years. And you want to know why? Because I met people like Lindsay and Jamie along the path. Right? There's this cheesy saying they said to stick with the winners, right? I used to talk down to it so much. But I don't look at like I don't think of it as stick with the winners. And there used to be this other one, you can't catch recovery through osmosis. I don't even know if that's not true anymore, because addiction and alcoholism are not contagious, but recovery can be. If you stick around people that are excited about this way of life, that are excited about their like going to their home group and being a part of something, and being on softball teams with your home group, spending time with people in your home group, you know, the measurement of a home group is not between the Serenity Prayer and the Lord's Prayer. It's between the Lord's Prayer and the next Serenity Prayer. I hope you understood what I just said. What makes a home group is the stuff that happens outside of the meeting. And for me, when I got here, it was easy to stay because I found people that were excited about this way of life. And when you get on a path, you're hiking out into the woods and you're on this beaten path and you're walking with people they don't have to be like-minded. They don't have to work the steps the same way you do. They don't have to love both the 12 and 12 and Big Book, but they're excited about spirituality. They're excited about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're excited about working with others. Because I promise you, a person with awakened spirit cannot help but want to work with others. Cannot help. They want to work with others. And so why has it been so easy for me to stay here for 18 years? It's because I've surrounded myself with people that are excited about what we do. And it has become contagious. And we hope that we can excite a few of you this weekend. I know some of you are already excited, so I'm not talking to that group. You know. Anyway, I think that's all I'm going to talk about for the first session.
Perfect. Thank you, Tarek.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tarek. Hey, y'all. I'm Lindsay. I'm an alcoholic. Steven, thank you for asking me to do this. It was like forever ago. I remember telling Jamie, I was like, I don't know, we talked about it years ago. So I'm glad it's finally here. And, you know, I think you'll notice something pretty quickly is I'm honored and blessed. Like I told Tarek this, I don't know, like a month or whenever we saw each other last. There was a gentleman in our lives. We got sober but pretty much same time together. And this person really did change the trajectory, definitely of my life and Tarek's. And then keeping that trajectory has been Tarek in my life. So anytime I get to share and listen, spend time with Tarek, who's, you know, my sobriety date is April 23rd, 2007. I'm from North Carolina, and I got sober in Georgia. And, you know, so I've known Tarek and a lot of people in my life for a long time. And it's like a lot of those folks, especially Tarek, for me, is like family. So being able to spend time with a brother and it means a lot. And he talked about, you know, we're pitching, you're catching. And one of the things I get to do, I do a lot, and I love it. It's a bright spot of my life is I take meetings to, like, sober livings. Now, y'all, like, came here. So the idea that anyone, like, I'm used to people. I'm like, just eat your mac and cheese is fine. You know, take a nap, draw on your coloring book, do your knitting. You know, I'm just used to it. And then, like, quarterly, I'm like, God, it's fucking annoying. And then, but there's always one person. You know, for years, there's just like always one person. And one of the things I'm really grateful for is there's a shift happened to me, and I know there's people in there. I know it's happened to you too, and I know it would probably be. So it's very difficult to articulate because another thing you're going to notice while Tarek and I are talking is he's definitely more intelligent than me. He's definitely more red, for sure. I'm very chaotic and ADD. You know, he's smarter. He speaks well. I don't have any of that. But we're very different, which is very different. Like, I can't. Tarek sent me a text on the way here. He put, you know, what's your ETA? I said 20 minutes. And he just put 201, and I liked it. I didn't even know what it meant. And, like, I didn't even think about it. And I was like, maybe that's my room. Like, I don't know. And my wife's like, how do you, I'm just like, I don't know. Didn't think about it. So I don't think about much. But, so we're very different. I'm very simple. I'm an alcoholic. But Tarek and I, what we do have in common is it's actually probably the most important things that I used to beat up too, this whole principles of personality. I used to hate the slogans too, and now I'm like, that's my life. Yeah. I think they know what they're doing. Is a very, very, very strong rooted commitment in recovery. And it just a sincere desire to serve. And we care. It's not even that complicated, and that's, I do believe, for me, and I believe it's a gift, and I'm really, really grateful. So therefore, being asked to do this, spend time with y'all, share anything any way I could be helpful, it's like the easiest thing to say yes to. And I get to do it all the time. You know, well, not this kind of shit. He's a fancy guy. I'm not that fancy. But he's fancy. He's talented, but I get to share, and I love sharing. And so one of the things that's like really kind of what Tarek was talking about with like the humility and the things that like, you know, having a spiritual awakening. One of the first things that I'll watch that time, you know, we're going to hold nobody hostage. That was told to me, and it's kind of always kickstarts anything I'm talking about, is when I got sober, the guy who took me through the big book. He looked at me and he was like, look, if you don't figure out, if you don't understand like what alcohol did for you, you're going to die drunk. And that sounded really crazy to me because like, I didn't like compute. I was like, what do you mean? Like, I know what it did, you know, like I got, this is my umpteen DUI, went down the list, you know, all the drama. And he was like, no, you need to understand and connect to what it did for you, not to you. And so that just started this whole different, like I'd never seen any of my drinking or my using or the consequences in that kind of light ever before. It was always, I got fired, I got kicked out, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, therefore, these are consequences, hence why I'm getting sober. You know, I never thought about what it did for me. And it's just like Tarek was talking about, this whole, like, psychic change, spiritual awakening. And I had no idea that that's what was happening. I had no idea about my relationship with alcohol or drugs. I had no idea about my relationships with anybody else. And I had no idea that that would actually also start changing the trajectory. It's just actually someone pointing things out that didn't make any sense to me. And fortunately, I had something within me that was willing to listen. And so even when Tarek was talking about, you know, you're not whole, right, which totally tracks. I mean, I'm still questioning, but if I'm actually whole. But it's true. There's not... you would think you have to learn a lot. So I try to keep up with someone like Tarek. I don't suggest it if you're anything like me, you're not going to keep up. Reads a lot faster, right? So I read a lot. I'm like, if I learn a lot, if I just learn this, then I'm going to be okay. If I just learn it, oh my God. And it's all about unlearning and I'll be damned. You know, I can't figure it out. I can't like, you know, fix it or make it happen or any of this. And that's all part of the whole process. You know, and it says step 11 was just little summary portions. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, experience him. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So I love what Tarek was talking about with like, I think that's like what's fascinating was when I realized, like, and this is my experience, I get sober and I'm like, oh yeah, I relate. Like, you kind of don't fit in. Like, you can be in a room and talk to people, but you're like always left out. Like, what is that? I related to that 100%. About everybody I meet relates to that. You know, like, we're here, but like a little off. You know, something's a little not, but we're here. And I really got that, you know, a little bit of something, something. And now I'm like, oh, we're cool. You know, we're good. And had no earthly idea that the unlearning process of the 12 steps. But, like, I tell you, for me, I don't know if anybody else had this experience, but, like, I always knew, like, I was a good person. You know, it's like, I know I'm a good person, but if you were to look at the record, you'd be like, I don't know about that. I don't know. Like, you might want to, did you see what you did, what you stole, you lied, you cheated, all these things. So it's confusing because it's like, I swear I'm a good person. God knows it. Like, whatever. But I swear I'm a good person. And then I'll just go lie or just go steal. Right. And the crazy thing is I'll do it sober too. So that is always confusing. It's kind of like the confusing thing with, like, I can be around people, but no one knows me. It's like tricky. It's a tricky thing. That was my experience. But even in step 11, most anyone I've worked with, including myself, I've always known the knowledge. I've always known God's will for me. I've known that since I was, where's the baby at? That baby knows it too. The cute baby, you're holding the baby? Okay, baby's somewhere. But I'm like, no, that baby knows. We always know what that is. But something within me never has not been able to have the power to carry it out because of all this other stuff that's, you know, I got going on, this alcoholism thing. So one of the whole points is for the spirit to wake up and so I can connect with that thing that's already there. So I got to unlearn a bunch of stuff. That's it. I just got to question some stuff, investigate some stuff, you know, which is unfortunate because in that process, you have to, like, I don't know, get honest. Awful, you know what I mean? Be uncomfortable. It's horrible. I still get that way. And that's what's crazy. And most people, in my experience too, I really didn't mind meeting with a sponsor. I liked it, actually. You know, I was like, this is great. I didn't mind sitting in meetings, but it was really hard for me to make genuine relationships and friendships and connections. And I remember I spent a lot of time trying to teach mechanics out of the big book, not realizing that the most important, like, this will not matter if I don't have the ability to have relationships and connections and friendships, then what is the point? Because the whole point is for the spirit to wake up. And when the spirit wakes up, all it wants to do is play. All it wants to do is connect. All it wants to do is be with friends and family. That's all it wants to do. So it's, but, you know, if it was up to me, I'd go and, you know, buy myself in a room with a notebook and get sober right fast, go and get that done. I don't have to get vulnerable or honest or, you know, any inconvenience. I'm just going to go do that, make some money, and then I'll be good, right? And it's not my experience. So I'm actually really pumped because I have no idea what's going to happen. That is my translation. Things that I heard that I was like, I like that. But my intention with doing anything when I'm with addicts and alcoholics in spaces like this, I love it because I really enjoy connecting with folks. And when I do, like, sober living meetings and stuff like that, one of the intentions I say at the beginning is to disturb on the question of alcoholism. That sounds scary, but it's actually akin to what Terry's talking about, is sharing weaknesses. Maybe I'm wrong. The humility of maybe I don't know. And that's the big intentions, is to connect, to be disturbed possibly, but it's always in a good way typically. You know, it's like, oh, man, I've never even noticed that. And to laugh. I really enjoy laughter. And, you know, that's all I got. I'm really excited to be here. And can't wait to get to know y'all. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. 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 Mm-hmm.